Thank you, Dave. Good morning. I feel funny coming out here without a gray beard. If you were at Vacation Bible School this week, you might have seen one of our skits where I was Sir Lancelittle. Had a good old gray beard. I can't grow a good beard, but I found one at Party City that worked okay, but I don't think many people thought it looked good. My wife definitely did not, so I won't be joining Duck Dynasty anytime soon or anything, but it does look a lot different in here. We still have some colored windows, though. They look nice, but everything else came down quickly, so Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was the castle, but it came down in just a matter of minutes. So, but thank you again. Thank you so much for any part that you had at all in the Vacation Bible School. A good number of you served and came here. We're actually on site. We had probably as many as 70 at a time from the chapel who were here teaching and helping and running sound and doing refreshments and crafts and transportation and picking up trash and doing whatever needed to be done. We also had a lot of folks praying. And we saw the evidence not only of the working here, laboring hands-on, but also the working in prayer. That's a big labor, an important labor, and we really did see fruit this week. And one little girl did make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, and she and her sister are here this morning in our Sunday school. So we thank the Lord for that, and many others who were counseled for assurance. Some came back to talk about salvation, were not quite understanding yet. So I want to keep praying. Don't stop praying because the gospel went out and it's in the seed is still there. And many of those boys and girls and also adults on Friday night, we thank the Lord for that. So thank you for praying and thank you for giving. Those of you who give to the Lord's work here in a financial way, you know at this meeting, we don't take up an offering, but we know that there are those who give from the from their hearts, and we appreciate that. And some of that money that you have given to the Lord went toward the Bible school. We don't charge for the Bible school, and everything is offered as unto the Lord. So thank you for whatever part you had in the Vacation Bible School. If you didn't have any part, that's okay too. But just want to express my personal thanks for those of you who were involved. So I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 John this morning. 1 John. We've been thinking about one anothering, and I think the Vacation Bible School was a really good illustration of one anothering, working together, different parts of the body functioning according to the design of God, and we have different abilities and gifts, and so we thank the Lord for working us together. And this morning we are going to look at another one of the one another's that we find in the New Testament letters, and we're going to use this one another as a kickoff into a study of the book of 1 John. 1 John is a book that I've wanted to take up for a long time, but it's also a very challenging book to outline, and I'm very much of an outline kind of person, and so I've been struggling with that, but I think the Lord is kind of bringing it together a little bit. But so it's going to be a little bit of a segue this morning as we start into 1 John. It's not going to be really an introduction to 1 John, but it is in the sense that we're looking at the first seven verses. We're going to be focusing on this thought of fellowshipping with one another. And so we're going to start out by reading the first seven verses. You can follow along with me as I read those from my copy of the Word of God. If you'd like to look in your own, I hope that you'll do that or get one from the pew there in front of you or the hymn holders there in front of you on the pew. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with one another. There in verse 3, you notice the word fellowship two times. In verse 6, you saw it again. And in verse 4, for a fourth time, you saw the word fellowship, which is the focus of our time together this morning. This idea of fellowshipping with one another. This word fellowship, as we have it here in 1 John and in different places throughout the New Testament, is the Greek word koinonia. We also have other derivative words from that and root words from that that we find in the New Testament, written originally in Greek. And this word, translated in different ways, sometimes communion, sometimes partnership, really has the word, the thought of the word share, to share in common. To have a share in something or to share something together. That's the idea, really, that's at the bottom of this word fellowship, which is what we want to look at this morning. So we're going to have a little abbreviation. It's FWA, F-W-O-A. That means fellowship with one another, okay? And the reason I put that up there is because as we work our way through, we're going to have four keys that we're going to look at this morning. Four keys to our fellowship with one another, and you'll notice that across the top of each slide, I didn't have room to put fellowship with one another, so I abbreviated it. And maybe also will help you to remember it. FWOA, right? That's a hard word to say, so you probably won't remember it. But maybe FWOA, fellowship with one another. And this week at Vacation Bible School, every day in the skit time, we were looking for a key. Looking for a key that was going to let down the drawbridge to get us over the moat back to the castle to get the princess there. That it was exciting, but I can't get into that. I'm getting off track. We got to get back. And here's the keys that we're going to use today. Four keys to our fellowship with one another, of this idea of sharing together. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 to draw that out. So the first key is going to be the basis of our fellowship with one another, the basis of our fellowship with one another. And we find it there in the first 2.5 verses that we read, verses 1 and 2, and the first half of verse 3. And really the basis of our fellowship with one another can be narrowed down to one word, and it's life. It's life. Now, you have life. The fact that you are alive, that you exist, that you are growing in some way, that you are functioning in an active way, that you are changing. Those are all basic characteristics of what a scientist would say makes up life. But the life that our fellowship with one another is based upon is actually not our own life. Rather, it's another life. It's the life of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we find here in the first part of 1 John. As John starts writing this, and you may notice that he doesn't identify himself. This is one of those letters that's unidentified in the book itself, like the book of Hebrews. But the early church was very confident, and some of the early church leaders, even who were contemporary with John, ascribe this book to John. And so we see that John, and as you read through the book and study the book, and we're going to see that John is going to address many of the same themes in this letter that he addressed in his gospel, or that he will address in his gospel account of the book of John. a lot of the same themes. Now, one of the interesting things, as I mentioned about 1 John, is that it's not that easy to outline. And part of the reason is because he works in what a lot of commentators say is a spiral. He's actually hitting the same themes, and he's going around, and you can say he's either getting deeper and deeper, or if you want to go up the spiral, he's getting broader and broader as he addresses these different themes. But this idea of life, and the life of the Lord Jesus, that's how he starts out this whole book. And we find here that the Lord Jesus, in being brought forth as life, we find, as I said, that parallel that you notice over in the Gospel of John. Because there we find that John, in starting out his Gospel account, he starts it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God, excuse me, and the Word was God. Notice here at the end of verse 1, he is speaking concerning the Word of life, the Word of life. The Lord Jesus is the Word. He is the communication from God. He is the communication of God. He is the communication that is God. Because in the beginning, way back before time started, in fact, at the very moment when creation began, the Lord Jesus, the Word, was there. Because he has no beginning. Now here, as we work our way into 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that here he also starts with a beginning. That which was from the beginning. Now it's true that as we read in the Gospel of John, that the Lord Jesus has no beginning, so he was there in the beginning. But I believe that the beginning that John is speaking about here is not the beginning of time, but the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus here upon this earth. Because though he had no beginning, he has always existed. He has always been the life. Yet there was a moment in time in which he was conceived upon this earth in the womb of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. No human father. Implanted, as it were, there as an embryo in the womb of Mary the Virgin. And there was a moment in time in which he was birthed into this world as a baby. And then as he grew up there in that home of Joseph and Mary in the town of Nazareth, we know that there came that period in his life for about 3 years, at roughly the age of 30, when the Lord Jesus began a ministry, serving as a carpenter during those first years of his life. He set out as a traveling rabbi to do the work which God had sent him to do, to go out and to preach the gospel to the poor, to declare liberty to those who were captive. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And it was this beginning, the beginning of that ministry, that I believe John, who was one of those 12 disciples, one of the closest to him, I believe that's where he's referring when he begins to give personal testimony about the life of this one that this book is going to be based on, and the one on whom our fellowship is based. We see here, he is the Word of life. I'm going to go ahead and just mention a couple of other ways that he's referred to his life here before we look at verse 1. But notice there in verse 2 that the life was manifested. He is also the manifested life. He is the Word of life. He is the communication of life itself, and not just human life, but the very life of God. And he also is the manifested life of God. A life that could not visibly be seen because God is spirit. But the Lord Jesus came to the earth, and he came in a form that we could look at and we could see. And we're going to see here that John did actually that on our behalf. And then also we find there, as we continue through verse 2, that he also is that eternal life. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So here's the life. Here's the basis of our fellowship with one another, of us sharing our lives together. It's the life of the Lord Jesus. Look at John's testimony there in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. John includes the other disciples and the others who saw the Lord Jesus and listened to the Lord Jesus. And he can say, you know what? We heard him speak. We heard him call us. We heard him speak a word and heal an individual who had an incurable disease. We heard him speak to a storm and calm the wind and calm the water on a lake. We heard him speak. We heard him raise the dead with a word. We heard him teaching. We heard him rebuking. We heard him praying. We heard him forgiving. We heard him with our own ears. He was real. He is real. This is life that was manifested, that was displayed, the very life of God displayed in human form. But not only did we hear him, we also, John says, we've seen him. We saw him doing life. We saw him eating. We saw him at a wedding. We saw him sleeping on a boat. We watched him walk. We saw him weep. We saw him with our own eyes. One of the false teachings that was going on during the first century and the time when John was writing this was probably in the late 90s of the very first century AD. During that time, the Gnostics were teaching, and one of their teachings was that knowledge they had was beyond the knowledge that the apostles had. And they also taught that matter is evil. That the physical is evil. So you either need to somehow control that part of you, or you need to just indulge that part of you because it doesn't really matter anyway. But they would say that the Lord Jesus was not really a human being. He was a phantom. He was a phantom, and he wasn't actually a person. And John says, whoa, I heard him. Whoa, I saw him. Whoa, next he says, we have looked upon him. Well, what's the difference between seeing him and looking upon him? The thought of looking upon him is investigating. See, I can look at you quickly, but if I stop and I say, Jeff has on a green shirt and it's got vertical stripes in the shirt and he is awake. I could not say that about everybody possibly in the room right now, but I can say that about Jeff. His hair is neatly groomed this morning. I am gazing upon him, not just seeing him. I see all of you, but I'm gazing on Jeff right now. And that's what John says we did. We gazed on him. We watched him. We looked at him. We investigated him. He was real. And not only did we hear him, not only did we see him, not only did we gaze upon him, what else does John say? Our hands have handled. We've touched him. You see, John was that disciple that described himself in his gospel account as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we read that there at what we call the Last Supper, he was leaning against the chest of the Lord Jesus. He said he was a real man. God, yes. The gospel of John presents so clearly that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. And John says, but I also want you to know, he is really man too. Completely man, without ever ceasing to be completely God. He is the Word of life, the manifested life. He is the eternal life with no beginning and with no ending. That is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why does He declare that? Notice in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. We declare it to you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. You see, John knew the importance of fellowship between believers. He knew it was important that we share our lives together. He knew that God has created the church, the body of Christ, to be a family. And we've been looking at that for several weeks before this. Loving one another as family. He knows that we need each other. And some of us think we don't need other people. You know, we're independent, and as citizens of the United States of America, we appreciate independence not only nationally, but we stress independence personally. And in some ways, that's very healthy, but in other ways, it's not healthy. And we need each other. We need to share our lives with one another, and the basis of our fellowship is the life of the Lord Jesus. And were it not for the life of the Lord Jesus, there would be nothing on which our fellowship could be founded. Now, I'm not saying that we couldn't get together because we all like pizza and enjoy that. I'm not saying that we couldn't get together because we all like the Carolina Tar Heels. Well, we couldn't get together because we all like the Tar Heels, but all of us who do like the Tar Heels could get together and we could have fellowship. But that's not the fellowship that John is talking about. That's not the fellowship of the New Testament. That's not the fellowship that we need. The fellowship that we need is a fellowship that is based on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing my life with another believer. Get this now. Sharing my life with another believer is actually sharing the life of the Lord Jesus in my life. That's what it is. The life of the Lord Jesus, this Word of life, this manifested life, this eternal life, which we can individually possess as our own right now, not just when it's time to die and we're going to heaven or we get there, but we can possess it right now where we are, and that's the life that I'm actually able to share with you and you with me, because that life becomes my life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, Christ who is our life. Not Christ who is a part of our life. Not Christ who makes our life better. He is our life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life is not your own anymore. My life does not belong to me. It's not me. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I'm dead, but I still live. How's that? It's because Christ lives in me. That's the life that I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The foundation of our fellowship is the life. And you notice there that I capitalize the L in life, because it is the Lord Jesus that we are speaking of. He is the one that John refers to as the Word of life, as the manifested life, and as eternal life. It's the Lord Jesus. The basis of our fellowship with one another is the life, the Lord Jesus. And then something very similar to that, but what I'm calling the prerequisite for our fellowship with one another, is found in the rest of verse 3 as we continue that verse. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, there's really a prerequisite. In order for me to have fellowship with you, and we could also call this an accompaniment of our fellowship with one another. But it's like an older brother. You know, there's an equality there, but the older brother may have a little higher position on the pecking order. So what we have here is another fellowship, but it all ties together. He said, I'm declaring this, verse 3, I've seen and heard it. We declare it to you. Why? In order that you may have fellowship with us. But he wants us to know this. Our fellowship is not around pizza, John says. It's not around basketball, John says. It's not even around our families. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I can have fellowship eating pizza. I can have fellowship watching a basketball game. I can have fellowship sharing our families together. But it all comes down to the fact that our fellowship ultimately is with God the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John says that's where our fellowship really is. And that is a prerequisite for our fellowship with one another. John was looking for fellowship. Some of you here this morning, I think that you have a longing in your heart for fellowship. You honestly want to share your life with other believers, and you want them to share their lives with you. That, again, is not a very natural thing for us as Western believers. We tend to be independent, a little more, closed off, maybe than some other cultures, keeping our distance, protecting our image, not wanting to open up. But there, I know deep within you, there is a desire to fellowship. And John had that same fellowship. John, in fact, was exiled for a portion of his later life on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. He was exiled there by the Roman Empire because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine his longing for fellowship on that island all alone? Kim and I were privileged back in the 97, 98 when we were able to go to Israel, and part of that trip there was a cruise of the Aegean Sea, and we got to go to Patmos. And we got to see the cave that supposedly, maybe, possibly, who knows, but maybe John was there, but it was somewhere like that. And to think about being there exiled, all alone, on that island, separated from other believers, he longed for fellowship. And you may be in that place. You may have people all around you. You're not exiled to an island, but you may feel like an exile. I need to share my life. I need for people to share their lives with me. I want fellowship with other believers. John was looking for that, but he made it very clear that the fellowship he sought was simultaneously fellowship with God. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, we read that God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. John 17, let me read these words of the Lord Jesus in prayer. John 17, 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, that fellowship is a joint fellowship with the Father and the Son and other believers. You see, if God isn't welcome in your fellowship, then it's not biblical fellowship. If God isn't interested in being in your fellowship, now, why would God not be interested in being in your fellowship? Well, if your fellowship is not around His Son, if your life has not been changed by His Son, if His Son is not your life, then God is not interested in the sense of wanting that fellowship. Now, He's interested in coming into fellowship by bringing you to His Son. He's plenty of interested in that. But if God isn't welcome or He isn't interested, not the kind of fellowship that He would be interested in being a part of, is not biblical fellowship. If I'm not sharing my life with the Father and His Son, I don't really have anything meaningful to share with anyone else. So am I enjoying my fellowship with God? That's where it starts. I've got to fellowship with Him. I've got to share my life with Him. I've got to open up with Him. Yes, He knows everything about me. Yes, He sees deep within me. Yes, I can't hide anything from Him. There's nowhere I can go, Psalm 139 says, that He's not already there, but He wants me to open up my life to Him just like He wants me to pray to Him. He already knows what I'm going to say in prayer. But He wants me to fellowship with Him, to share my life, and for me to enjoy His life, the manifested life, eternal life, the Word of life, as He desires to share that with me. Am I open to that? Am I open to God sharing His life? As I read His Word, am I expecting Him to infuse the reality of His life into my life? Am I open to that? Or am I just reading academically? Or am I just reading ritualistically? Or am I just reading because it's a duty that I need to do? Or maybe I'm doing it for some other motive. But He said, I want to fellowship with you. I want you to hear me. I want you to see me. I want you to gaze upon me. I want you to touch me. God is saying that. The Son is saying that. God the Son, God the Father. That's the prerequisite for our fellowship with one another. Oh, let's very quickly look at verse 4. We'll just touch on this. A byproduct of our fellowship with one another. John says, here is one of the reasons that I'm writing this letter. And there'll be some other ones that we'll see as we go through the letter. But here's one. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You see, the byproduct is a full joy. Now, some translations say our joy, and some translations say your joy. But the fact is that if we're fellowshipping with one another, and we're fellowshipping with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, then the joy is going to be spread around. Okay, we're all going to be joyful, and He desires that our joy would be full. Not only that we would experience joy, but that we would have a joy that is full. Listen to the Lord Jesus' words in John 15 in verse 11. And you'll notice under each of these keys, I'm mentioning a quotation from the Gospel of John to show the connection. John 15 and verse 11, the words of the Lord Jesus, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Full. You see, fellowship with one another in Christ results in joy even when life is difficult. There can be a deep joy that may not even make me smile, that may not even make me feel warm and happy inside, but it's a deep joy that I know is a reality because I know I have fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with other believers who are also enjoying fellowship with the Father and the Son. And a byproduct of that fellowship, not the focus, but a byproduct is that full joy. Well, finally, we come to the path to our fellowship with one another in verses 5 to 7. He's already declared, we've seen earlier, He declared there in verse 2 and verse 3, this truth of life. And now He's going to declare in verse 5 the truth of light. So we got life declared in verses 1 through 4. And now we're going to have light declared in verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. It's a declaration that God is light. Now that can mean a number of things. It can speak of the holiness of God and the purity of God. And I think that it does. But I think that what the basis is, and it's the basic concept of the scientific view of light, I guess you would call it scientific, the definition, the dictionary definition of light, and it's also the basic idea of the Greek word that's used here for light, and it's the thought of exposing. Light exposes. Light shows what was in the darkness that could not be seen. So if something is in the dark, it is not seen. It's hidden. When something is in the light, it is exposed. It is revealed. It is manifested. And that is the real basis of this word. Again, I'm not saying that the other parts aren't a part of that. They surely are. But the thought of the word is that God exposes. And God exposes perfectly. God is light. And in the brightness of His perfect holiness and purity, He exposes what everything is. He exposes what is righteous, what is right before Him. He exposes what is unrighteous. He exposes. And so John goes on to speak here of claiming to walk in fellowship with God. This little phrase, if we say, we're going to see that through the book of John, if we say that we have fellowship with Him. So here's the idea that we are making a claim individually, possibly, I have fellowship with God. I have fellowship with the Father. I have fellowship with the Son. I am sharing my life with them. Their life is being shared with me. So he said we can make that claim, but if we make that claim while walking in darkness, and of course walking in the New Testament, in the epistles, the letters particularly, is the idea of living. It's a lifestyle. So if I am saying that I am in fellowship with light, and yet I am living in the darkness, he said I'm lying and I'm not living out the truth. I'm being deceitful. I'm probably deceiving myself. I may be trying to deceive other people. And it's possible that I'm even trying to somehow deceive God, who sees everything, and nothing is hidden from His eyes. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, what communion, that's our word koinonia, what fellowship, what communion does light have with darkness? None. Because if you have light, you don't have darkness, right? You can't have darkness if you have light. If there's darkness there and you cut on the light, there's no more darkness. Now it's light. At least in that area where the light is shining. So we see that God, His very character is light. And He, by who He is, exposes everything else and everyone else for what it is, for what they are. And so now John goes on to say, there's the negative. To say that we're fellowshipping with God, but living a life of hiding, trying to hide who we really are. And God knows who we are. He's shining the light, but we're standing there thinking we're all hidden, you know, up under this little blanket, though the light is shining all around us. We're like the kid who covers up his eyes and says, you can't see me now. You can't see me now. And sometimes we live like that. And he said, that's not fellowshipping with God. No, to have fellowship, there must be an openness, there must be a sharing. So now he talks about walking in the light. Here's the converse, but if we walk in the light, if we live our lives open before God as He is in the light, it's amazing, God not only is light, we read in the book of Psalms, He clothes Himself with light. Here we read that He's in the light. If we're exposed by God, so that we're willing to, with God, address the issues in our lives, then we can have that true fellowship with God and with one another. Listen to John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. You see, when we're in fellowship with the Father and with His Son, we have an honest desire to be changed where needed. And it opens up the door to true fellowship with other believers, where we can expose ourselves to them and we can be a safe person with whom they can expose themselves. themselves. That's what we want. That's the kind of fellowship that we want deep down. We don't want it on the outside. It's a lot safer, it seems, a lot more convenient, a lot easier to stay at an arm's length and to keep the light from exposing us to others, to not allow who we really are to be seen by others. But we want that deep down, I think. You know, we're going to start life groups in the book of, in the month of September. And one of the things that we really hope will come from that is fellowship. An opportunity to share our lives with other people who also are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and who also want their lives to be shared. And that we might be in a safe environment, small enough to really know each other and to share, again, the Word of God, the Word of life. Is all based on the life of the Lord Jesus. We'll be studying the book of James. We'll be in the book of James hearing the Word of God, desiring to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, and desiring to grow together. And I'm not saying we're going to walk in the first night and say, hey, here's everything about me. No. We recognize that it's a growing experience, but that willingness to be open and honestly sharing about how the life of the Lord Jesus is impacting my life. How is the life of the Lord Jesus in you impacting your life? And for those who prefer not to come to a life group, we'll be still having the preaching of the Word. And that'll be an opportunity, again, to share our lives together around the Lord Jesus. And then we find here very quickly as we close this idea of the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansing us from all sin. Cleansing us. You see, when I keep my fellowship open with God, when I'm honest with God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus. Again, one who has recognized that I am a sinner. You see, I had to come to that point where I realized I was in the darkness. I had to come to that point where I acknowledged the darkness of my life, my own sin to God. And I had to realize that His Son, who is the life, died for me and rose again to new life that I might have the life of God. And when I believed on the Lord Jesus as my Savior, then I was brought into that relationship with God where I can have true fellowship with Him. And as I keep that open and that fellowship open, and I'm sharing with God who I really am, and I'm confessing, yes, Lord, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I'm still struggling, Lord, with this area. And I fail over here today. And Lord, in the last 5 minutes, I fail six times. Lord, I want to be open with You. And He says, don't worry, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Get that in your mind and heart. All sin. And the fact that His blood cleanses me from all sin, guess what it makes me want to do? Not sin. It doesn't make me want to go and say, hey, I can sin all I want. His blood cleanses me. No, it makes me not want to sin because of the cost to the Lord Jesus. He's already paid the price. But He loved me so much. And when I'm in fellowship with Him, I'm in communion with Him, I don't want to sin against Him. Peter learned he needed his feet washed. And as believers, we need our feet washed, as it were, from living in this world. John chapter 13, John recorded that upper room foot washing by the Lord Jesus for the disciples. And he told Peter, Peter, once you're bathed, once you're saved, he was saying, you don't have to get re-saved. But you need to keep that fellowship open to have your feet washed. So fellowshipping with one another, the basis is the life of the Lord Jesus, who is life. The prerequisite is a fellowship with the Father and the Son. The byproduct is a fullness of joy. And the path is walking in the light of God's exposure, being honest with God, and hopefully finding those believers with whom I can be honest, who can help keep me accountable, who can pray for me, who can encourage me, who can share with me what God's life is doing in their lives. And maybe that will encourage me. Maybe it will help me in an area where I'm struggling. So as we close this morning, what can we share with one another about the potential impact of the Lord Jesus on our lives and about the actual impact of the Lord Jesus on our lives. I'm going to let you think about that and give you a moment of silence. I'll close us in prayer, and then our brother David will play a verse. And as he plays, please just think about the answer to that question. Or think about something that you want to do in response to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, as we think about fellowshipping with one another. Life groups and meetings of the assembly are not the only way to do that. We can do that throughout every day. We can share our lives with the Lord. We can share our lives with each other if we take the initiative to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. It's been a blessing to be together with your people. Father, maybe there's some here this morning that have never received the Lord Jesus. Father, what a wonderful fellowship they are missing. May they know that not just a fellowship of the saints here, and not just a fellowship of believers around the world, but Lord, the fellowship with you is just overwhelming, that you would want to share your life with us. Father, we bow in worship and awe before you, and we thank you. And Father, we pray that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And for those of us who are saved, Lord, may we walk in the light. Father, it's not so much how we walk you're talking, it's about where we walk. Walking in the light. You are the light. Your Son is the light. Lord, may we walk with an openness to you. Father, may we expose ourselves honestly to you, that you may show us where the victory is in Christ, that by your grace, through faith, we may rejoice in the reality of that life that we experience with you. Father, do your work in us. May we respond in faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.